Today on Real Radio.
Then they leapt about the altar which they had made, and so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god." Either he is meditating or he's busy. The word in Hebrew is he's going potty. He's going potty, or he's on a journey. Perhaps he's asleep and he must be awakened. So they cried, wouldn't the ACLU sue him for saying that? Huh? Can you imagine if he said that on Fox or CNN? He'd be sued. He doesn't care.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series that's taken from chapter 6. This is where an angel appears to Gideon and calls him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in these presentations called Let a Man Arise.
And the father, Joash, begins to take a stand. This is awesome. He starts to rethink his view. Hey, mom, dad, listen, maybe your kids are walking with Jesus, and maybe they talk you into coming to church. You know what happens here. Do you know that? Thank God we have junior high and high schoolers who are telling their parents, you ought to come to church. Man, you know what? We're on the brink of revival when kids start to tell their parents, you need to go to church. You know, there are kids, we don't like this because it's kind of scary, but there are kids who the parents pull up and drop their kids off for church and the parents drive away. I don't know, they go shopping, catch up on some sleep. I don't know what they're doing. But the parents need to come. What kind of an example is that? Hey kid, you go to church and praise the Lord, I'm going to go over here and get drunk. What are they doing? Go and bless God, I'm going to go, you know, gamble. What are they doing? Hey, I thank God somebody in the family's coming. Gideon was walking with God. It affected his dad. Look what he says. Would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who will plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. This is awesome. He's mocking. He tells these guys who are going nuts, we're going to kill your son. Bring him out here. And basically, Joash says, why don't you put a sock in your mouth? You guys, zip the lip. You're a bunch of pagan worshiping lunatics. If your God is real, then why doesn't he defend himself? My boy can go up there and tear down the altar and knock down the Ashtoreth? What's with you? What are you worshiping? Look at you. You're acting like a bunch of idiots, screaming, going crazy. You want to kill my kid? I'm going to tell you something. None of you guys should be alive by morning. Did you know God had already spoken to Moses, though it wasn't brought up here? The fact of the matter was God had declared if there's a pagan worshiping system that it needs to be destroyed, needs to be taken care of, needs to be dealt with. Why? Because it'll destroy a nation. It'll destroy a people. Well, hey, without quoting it, without leaning upon it, Joash says, you know what? If your God is God, then why doesn't he defend himself? Therefore, verse 32, on that day he called him, that is Gideon, Jerubbaal. Baal is this ancient Babylonian god, and Jerub is the word that means this, to mock him in a sense, to plead or fight against him. They began to view Gideon as Baal's antagonist. Church, did you hear that? I'm going to say something incredibly politically incorrect. This world needs more Gideons tonight than ever before in human history. Men who are not afraid to call paganism paganism and falsehood falsehood, but they won't, or they get shut down. Listen, I know a man who took a stand and calls it called it then and calls it now like it is. And he used to be on the news all the time. And they shut him down. You don't hear much from him anymore. You guys remember who Franklin Graham is? Right after 9/11, Franklin Graham was laying it out there, man. Read it. Go look at the transcripts of news spots where he was on. Then read his book, The Name. You got to get that book and read it, The Name. And he got shut down. You know why? He was too honest. He was a Gideon. Yigal Yadin writes this. Who is Baal? Classic Hebrew sources relate how the worship of Baal often included that of child sacrifice to Baal Haman, known also as Moloch. There is an increasing number of scholars who tend to see Baal Haman as the ancient chief Babylonian moon god, writes Yigal Yadin. You know what's interesting about that? These images that you're seeing? The ancient moon god dates all the way back 5,000 years ago to ancient Babylon. It was the same image. It was the chief god of the 360 deities of ancient Babylon. It is absolutely amazing to see that this crescent moon image has been in antiquity long before Islam was ever founded by Muhammad, by the way. The image was just picked up from antiquity. The ancient moon god has been worshipped for 5,000 years, going by different names throughout epochs of time. There's nothing, Solomon said again, there's nothing new under the sun. You and I may be living in the 21st century, but nothing's new. It comes down again, as I've said before, to the battle of the gods on Mount Carmel. It is either Baal or Yahweh. Everything, there's the one true God, Yahweh, and then there's all that is represented in and through Baal. Nothing's changed. No, listen, if you have to defend your God like these poor guys have got to do, then it's time for you to know the one true God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's real. He is real. You can know him. He's revealed himself in the Word of God. He's personal. He loves you, even though you may not even know him. He loves you. He wants to give you salvation. It's free. You can know that you're going to go to heaven, not guess. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18, it's the same, it's later on, but it's the same battle. 1 Kings 18, I just mentioned it a moment ago. You can turn there if you'd like. It's a huge portion. Turn there if you could. 1 Kings 18, a little bit to the right. I tell you what, while you're turning there, 1 and 2 Kings, it is a great, great couple of books to read to your kids. You know why people buy like Harry Potter books and all this other stuff? Because parents are not reading 1 and 2 Kings to their kids. You don't get better stuff than this. You know, if Hollywood got a brain in their head, stop pushing their agenda, they should make a movie on 1 and 2 Kings. You guys, it would make Harry Potter look like a nursery rhyme. I guess it is a nursery rhyme these days, isn't it? It is action-packed stuff. Listen to this, 1 Kings 18, 23. It's Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. And Israel is looking on. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call in the name of your gods. Remember the 360 gods? Watch. And I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he's God. So all the people answered and said, well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, all the gods, see that? But now the prophets of Baal, singular. He's the chief god of all the gods. The moon god. Choose one bull for yourself and prepare it first, for you are many, and call in the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, "Oh, Baal, hear us!" But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leapt about the altar which they had made, and so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating or he's busy." The word in Hebrew is he's going potty. He's going potty. Or he's on a journey. Perhaps he's asleep and he must be awakened. So they cried, wouldn't the ACLU sue him for saying that? Huh? Can you imagine if he said that on Fox or CNN? He'd be sued. He doesn't care. Verse 28. This is pathetic. Has anything changed? So they cried aloud and cut themselves as was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out of them. Violent. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. That's 3:00 in the afternoon. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. You want to know why? There was nobody there. They're dancing around, jumping up and down, cutting themselves, slugging each other, knocking each other out, trying to get their God's attention. And when they probably paused to catch their breath, all you could hear were crickets. Then Elijah said, verse 30, to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That they fell over it and knocked it over. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the 12 tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord and made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 sheaves of seed, and he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar and also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word." See, the Lord had told him to do this, just like God had told Gideon to move. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Verse 38, "Then fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God.'" Oh, man. Baal, an ancient Babylonian deity that is still being worshipped today. And what is the conduct? Violence and desperation and panic and torment and intimidation and fear. God calls a Gideon to stand up against the Midianites who had pillaged their land for 7 years. And he's going to rescue that land. We'll end with this, but don't close your Bible yet. We're ending, but we're not ending just this second. What do we get out of this? Well, number one, there's dangers to sin. There are dangers to sin. Please don't think. The Bible says, do you think for a moment, when we're being tempted, do you think for a moment that you can go and take fire, you know, a log that's burning, and hold it to your bosom, to your breast, and not get burned? Oh, that's stupid. Nobody would do that. Who would put fire right in their bosom? And the Bible says that's exactly what we do when we start to embrace sin. Isn't it weird? The guy in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, got a little king cobra snake right out of the egg. I mean, it was like the size of a worm. And he had that little thing, and he was raising it up, and I don't do snakes. But this was a pet snake, and it grew up, and it grew up, and it grew up, and it was almost 10 feet long. And he had it for years. And then, you know, he'd turn an animal loose, a rabbit or a chipmunk or whatever he did with that thing, and then he'd go to work, and it would hunt it out and eat it. And by the time he comes home, it's all, anything you have to appease like that and come home with it, as long as he eats, it's safe to come home. That's a warning. Warning. Man. So the guy comes home, and out of nowhere, this 10-foot-long king cobra attacks him, and he gets bit. You know, their venom will kill you. And the guy reaches for the phone, and he dials 911, and he's, well, we now know later when they got him out of this thing, that the guy fell on the floor, and he was completely coherent. He felt the total pain of it all. He laid there. He couldn't move a muscle. He was frozen stiff, but he could hear and feel and think perfectly normal. He was locked in his body. And the fire department came, and I don't know what they did to the snake. I would have blown the thing up. I mean, I would have blown it up. But they got the guy, you know, out of it, and he miraculously lived to tell the story. And people, listen, sin is dangerous because it can be in your house and you can let it in like a little thing. It's just a little thing. Look how cute it is. Look, it's just a little worm. It's going to grow up. It will grow up. If it's alcohol, you might say, well, you know, I just drink it to just kind of calm down at the end of the day until you drink a little bit of it and it doesn't affect you anymore. Then you need to drink more of it. Until you're drinking a lot of it. It's a snake, and it's all growed up. Maybe it's a little bit of drugs in this direction or that direction. And then your body builds up a tolerance to it, and then you got to have more of it. And it begins to affect the way that you think, your logic, your reason. Everything changes. And it's dangerous, it's horrible, and it's wicked. Everything that winds up killing us always starts with a peek, with a sip, or with a touch. It'd do it every time. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these. Watch this. Let's follow this through. Adultery. Nobody wakes up and says, hot dog, I'm going to have adultery today. Oh man, look, it's on the calendar. It's adultery day. Adultery day. Nobody does that. You wind up getting sucked into that. Nobody signs up. Can you move me up on the list, please? The works of the flesh are, it's adultery. Fornication. Fornication is two single people having sex. Uncleanness. Lewdness. Filthy talking. Hey, want to hear a dirty joke? No little kid grows up, you know, no five-year-old goes, hey, you want to hear a dirty joke? It matures. Listen, sin and Satan is a gradualist. Here a little, there a little, until he kills us. Idolatry. Nobody wakes up and says, man, I'm just going to set up an altar today and bow down to Mercedes-Benz. Or bow, oh, Nordstrom. Oh, Nordstrom. Macy. Nobody does that. You get introduced to it. Sorcery, which is the old word for pharmakei, drug use. Nobody just says, you know what? Hook me up, man. Get me stoned and hooked and ruin my life. Waste my life down to skin and bones. I want to get completely stoned and hooked on drugs. I want to lose my home, my family, and my job. Nobody does that. It happens. Hatred, this violent hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. That is, you know the old saying, look out for number one? That's exactly what that is. To crush people to get to the top. Dissensions and heresies, envy and murder, drunkenness, revelries or lewd orgy type parties. And the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also tell you in times past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going. Number two, there are wages that sin pays out. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," meaning we can't get to heaven from here without Jesus and his forgiveness of sins. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what sin pays. And sin goes like this. Come on, you can just try it. Come on, come on over here. It's cool. You just try it once. And then as soon as you cross that line, then it says this. Oh man, you cross that line. Oh, God will never talk to you again. You're going to go to hell. You're going to burn. You're going to fry, man. It says, come on, come on, come on. Nobody will know. It's okay. Just try it. And as soon as you cross the line, condemnation swoops down upon you. And then finally this, there's the fallout from sin. Exodus 20 verse 5 says, "You shall not bow down to them," that is foreign gods, "or serve them. For I, the Lord, am your God. I'm a jealous God. And listen, I visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation upon all those who hate me." What does that mean? That if we engage in sin, now we all sin, but we don't make plan on sinning. We hate the sin that's in our lives now. We're born again, we're alive to God. But when we, listen, when we are now in this new life, we know what we're talking about regarding this temptation. But before that, we didn't know this. And we made plans on sinning. We didn't know Christ. We didn't know the Lord. And here the scripture says that God, and this, you need to hear this, God will visit our sin that we wind up opening the door to. He will bring it upon our children, our children's children, our children's children's children. Have you not seen that in generations? Watch this. And this is, don't run out of the building. This is hopeful. Listen, let me finish. My great-grandfather was a drunk. My grandfather was a drunk. My dad was a drunk. I'm a drunk, and my kids will be a drunk. Listen, that is true when we learn to respond to life by watching our parents. Learned response behavior. How do I deal with problems? I look to my dad, and he drinks. What did my dad do? He looked to his dad, and he drank. Here's the thing. Here's the beautiful thing. That will continue on in a generation until someone, like a Gideon, says, "That's it. I'm going to follow the Lord." And that is broken. And you need to be filled with hope tonight. Was your father an abusive or drunk or an adulterer or whatever? "I'm going to be like that. I know it. I'm not." No, you don't know that. And no, you don't have to be like that. Because now you have a new father to follow. He's the Lord God, and he's given you the Bible and the Holy Spirit in you so that you can stay clear of that stuff, and the chain breaks, and your children will be more godly, thank God. I pray my children will be more godly, thank God, than I've ever been. God breaks the chain.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called Let a Man Arise. It's a presentation taken from the book of Judges, chapter 6. Currently, Pastor Jack is also teaching a series called Life and the Bible. Many parts of Scripture contain practical wisdom, tips, suggestions, certainly commands, on how to live, not just what to believe. Well, Pastor Jack takes us through them in this series, Life and the Bible. This week, for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's message on DVD called Being a Christian at Your Job. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure and ask for Being a Christian at Your Job. It's part of the Life and the Bible series by Pastor Jack. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.